Live from NPR News, I'm Janine Herbst. President Trump remains in a military hospital outside Washington today, although his doctors say he could be released tomorrow. The White House doctor also says Trump's blood oxygen levels fell twice in the past several days and that he's now taking a steroid to fight COVID-19. Meanwhile, his diagnosis has rocked the presidential race, and NPR's Mara Liasson reports both campaigns are trying to figure out how to proceed.
Joe Biden took down his negative ads but continues to campaign. The Trump campaign says it will postpone events or make them virtual. People are already voting in many states, and the Trump campaign says their ground operations like door knocking and phone banking will continue. The vice president and the president's family will travel the country as surrogates. It's not known how long it will take for the president to recover or whether he will be able to attend the next debate, which is supposed to take place in less than 2 weeks. The vice presidential debate between Mike Pence and Kamala Harris, scheduled for Wednesday in Salt Lake City, is expected to go on as planned. Mara Liasson, NPR News.
As the number of coronavirus cases in parts of New York City grows, Mayor Bill de Blasio is asking the state for permission to close schools and reinstate restrictions on non-essential businesses in several of the neighborhoods. Shutdowns would start on Wednesday in 9 zip codes in the city where the number of positive tests is on the rise. De Blasio says the closures could last up to 4 weeks, depending on how those numbers go.
On Friday, for example, we had almost 2,000 new tests on top of what we had previously at over 20 locations in these key zip codes. We're going to continue to amplify that, continue to add testing capacity in these communities.
De Blasio says around 300 public and private schools would close, and indoor dining, which just resumed at limited capacity a few days ago, would be suspended. Pope Francis presented his blueprint for a post-COVID world addressing income inequality, immigration, and social injustice. NPR's Sylvia Pagioli has more.
The Pope's post-pandemic vision is contained in his latest encyclical Fratelli Tutti. In Italian, Fratelli refers to both brothers and sisters. Its release came on the birthday of his namesake, St. Francis of Assisi. It's a scathing description of laissez-faire capitalism. Francis denounces this dogma of neoliberal faith that resorts to the magic theories of spillover and trickle-down economics. A good economic policy, he adds, creates jobs, doesn't cut them. The encyclical is a critique of nationalism and populism and the divisiveness caused by social media. On racism, the Pope said it is a virus that quickly mutates and instead of disappearing, goes into hiding and lurks in waiting. Sylvia Poggioli, NPR News, Rome.
This is NPR. The Guatemalan government says it has now returned over 2,000 Honduran migrants who had rushed the border into Guatemala this week, hoping to get into the United States. Authorities had declared the migrants a health hazard to Guatemala during the pandemic and urged them to return to Honduras. Maria Martin has more.
4 days after leaving the poverty-stricken country of Honduras and facing roadblocks, rain, hunger, and fatigue, a great number of the migrants gave up their dream of finding a better life in the U.S. They boarded trucks, cars, and military transport in the northern jungle state of El Petén to take them back home to Honduras. The Guatemalan government says it has now repatriated over 2,000 migrants. An estimated 3,000 had crossed the border this week, many without the legal documentation of a negative COVID test as they rushed the recently opened border crossings. Some were returned previously, others fled into the jungle of Petén. For NPR News, I'm Maria Martin.
Honda says another person has been killed after the faulty Takata airbag inside the man's 2002 Honda Civic exploded, sending shrapnel into the passenger cabin. The NTSB says it happened in August in Arizona. This is the 17th person in the U.S. to die from the defective airbags, which Honda and other automakers have been replacing. 26 people have died around the world. This part has led to one of the largest recalls in history, affecting more than 60 million airbags in tens of millions of vehicles. I'm Janine Herbst, and you're listening to NPR News.